Anyway, good morning. It's good to see you in church this morning for this very special day being Easter Sunday. I think I'll hand over to Rob and let him take us through the intimations.
Welcome to our Easter service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. We will celebrate communion during the service. And if attending on Zoom, please have bread and wine or juice available for the sacrament. Warm Spaces in Sanctuary Cinema. The Warm Spaces programme has now ended. Thank you to everyone who came along and not to all who helped. We expect to run a similar programme once again next winter. Coffee mornings. Our first coffee morning this year will be on Saturday the 6th of April, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Enjoy a cup of tea or coffee with home baking. Come and browse the pre-loved items on the bric-a-brac stall too. If you can help in any way, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. Church walk. The next church walk takes place on Sunday 14th of April, and we will be visiting the Charleston Estate with the usual coffee stop. Meet in Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Cycling club. The next C4 outing is on Saturday the 20th of April. The route is Stirling, Dune, Kippen, so speak to Derek on 82190 for more information. Joint service at Lime Kilns. The next joint service with our neighbour congregations will be at Lime Kilns on the 7th of April. There will be no service in Cairnhill that day.
The service is at 11 o'clock. At Lime Kilns. These services will now take place regardless of where they are. They'll be at 11 o'clock, and with the parking down the road in Lime Kilns, sharing cars would be very useful. So we'll try and... What time should we be here, do you think? 10:30. So leaving here at 10:30, if you're able to offer a space, or you would like to, even if you're going to drive here and then change over, that would be great.
Two final intermissions that are not on the list. The Easter craft stall is still open and outside for business, and there are teas and coffees after the service. More intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet available from the website or Facebook if you do not have a copy. And for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
We're going to begin our service with our usual threefold mention that Jesus has risen. I say Christ is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. And you get to say it, you get to say it loudly, and if you're really... want to be very loud, you can shout it the third time. And I'm speaking to some very quiet boys here. Yeah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's sing. Hymn number 380. There is a green hill far away.
Thank you.
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands the gifts we offer to you this morning. We offer to you of our time, our talent, and our money, seeking your blessing as these gifts are used in the work of your church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Rosemary is going to lead us in our prayers this morning.
This morning's prayer is partly based on an Easter prayer within Life and Work. We hear a voice call our name, and we know our risen Lord is with us, now and always. Lord Jesus, we greet you in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you and we bless you, our risen Lord Jesus, King of Glory. You drew Mary Magdalene to the tomb where she wept over your death. In her grief, you broke through with life-shattering resurrection, offering hope to her broken heart. Today, as we celebrate your triumphant victory over death, we ask for your presence in our lives. Reach into our hearts, just as you did for Mary, and fill us with the promise of hope. May doubts be unlocked, peace be unbolting, and our souls be touched by your grace. Jesus, let us hear your living voice. You see and hear how we are troubled, how doubts rise in our minds, how things once solid seem to melt, how shattering these days have felt, how locked in rooms we still remain, whilst danger and confusion reign. Arrest us with your voice again. Peace be with you. Here we are confronted with the resurrected Christ, a moment of reset, renewal, revitalization. To open-mouthed and astonished friends, you say, I told you so. Lord Jesus, point us back again to your word, to recalibrate our expectations, to remember what you said. Point us forward again to your world, to be sent in the power of the Spirit, to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. Lord Jesus, sometimes we do not hear you for fear. Sometimes we do not heed you for astonishment. Sometimes we do not see you for joy. Sometimes we do not obey you for amazement. We know that we have lived by our strength and not by the power of your resurrection. As we bring to you now in a moment of stillness, our own personal thoughts and confession. Jesus, Lord and Saviour, this Easter we pray that we will hear you, heed you, see you, obey you, and receive from you the call, go and make this known. As we join together now, in saying the words that you first taught to your disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen.
I was asked a question this week. How long have we had this cross? And I thought, it's a long time. I couldn't give an exact answer because I'm not sure precisely when it was. But I know it was when Ken White was here, because it was Ken that made the cross. It's driftwood that he picked up on the beach, somewhere down between Charleston and Limekilns, I would presume. K- Ken was here between 1994 and 1998. Generally, if you look in a church for a cross, or you look at the kind of crosses that make jewellery or badges, they're all really beautiful works of art. We use the best of wood or precious metal or stained glass. The cross in front of us is quite different. This wood has not been cherished or polished. The cross is as dead as it can be. Driftwood is lifeless. And it's simply nailed together. There's a reality about that cross. Physically, it is probably closer to the reality of the cross that was used by the Romans, which would have been two rough pieces of wood, an upright and a crossbeam. Spiritually, it is as dead as the disciples were feeling on that first day of the week, when the women went out. As we decorate the cross, there is an astonishing transformation. The first Easter that we did this in church, we were all kind of astounded. We knew it would look good, but we didn't anticipate how good or the transformation that would take place. Our celebration of Jesus is not about an empty tomb, nor is it really about an empty cross. The reality of Easter is that resurrection changes everything, and in an astonishing way. There is something that seems even more real about the cross once it's decorated. An instrument of death has become a symbol of life. There is something about the cross transformed that demands that we share what we have, and so we live in hope that somebody will have remembered the cable ties that are needed to put the cross up on outside here, and it's not me because I don't think I've got any in my car, but I might. You brought them down. Well done, Margaret. But we want to share it with people outside. And I did actually bring a camera with me so that I can take a picture of the cross, because I usually remember, by the time I remember, the flowers are looking a bit kind of drooped because it's the next day. So we're going to decorate the cross. I think there might be some adults to help, but we usually depend on our young people to put flowers in the cross, and that's really helpful for the ones that are low down, because some people have got creaky knees and can't reach down that far. So while the cross is decorated, we're going to sing the second of our hymns. It's from Mission Praise. It's "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." So would you like to come out and decorate the cross? And of course, children of all ages can decorate.
Thank you.
get all the flowers in, because some of the older boys and girls that are a bit shy about coming out might want to put some flowers in later. So I think what we might do is we might very carefully lift the cross down the steps so that I can move the communion table out, because I don't think I can get into that space at the back. Now, who would like to go out for an Easter egg hunt? and who's staying in for the sermon? That'd be just me. Yes, it was announced that there was going to be an Easter egg hunt at Limekilns, and one small child had heard this and went and had the option of going with either set of grandparents, and they were certainly coming to Limekilns, and it was nothing to do with grandparents, it was all to do with Easter eggs. Rob's going to read for us now, and you'll not be surprised that it is the story of the resurrection.
Today's readings from the New Testament book of Luke, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, the resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
The Easter story. To understand Easter Sunday, you almost have to think about the one day where we have no knowledge. There are no stories from the Sabbath that began at sunset on Friday and ended at sunset on Saturday. There is a blank. The disciples, minus Judas, the women and others who had believed, what did they do? That Sabbath was a lost day, and so it seems to have remained in the memories of those who were there. On the day of crucifixion, the hopes and dreams of those who had followed Jesus were gone. No doubt there were lots of questions that Sabbath day, that Saturday. I wonder what it was like as they got up in the morning on a day that should have been a day devoted to God. All those thoughts, were they wrong? Were they deluded? Questions of themselves, what should they have done? Why did nobody notice Judas was going the wrong way. Why didn't they stand with Jesus? And then the first day of the week begins. It begins at sunset. The Sabbath is over, but of course there is a long, dark night that will precede what is expected to be an even darker day. This is a first day with no teacher, no Lord, no master. Very early in the morning, while the streets are still mostly dark, before the city wakes, the women head out with the spices that they had prepared. This allows them to complete Jesus' burial. There was no time when Jesus was placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. One last act of service. That is, if they could move the stone and didn't have trouble with the guards. When we turn to the Gospels, the account of the day of resurrection is strange. It has wee stories here and there. There are details, but other details seem confused. It is just as you would expect witness statements to be. Anybody who has witnessed something unusual, whether it be an accident or whether it be something marvelous, people remember different things. And some people will swear blind that something happened, and others will say, no, it wasn't like that at all. All of the different accounts have some common elements. And of these, we can be certain. We know it was women who went out first. Bit confused about which of the women, but it was certainly women who were there and found the empty tomb and were first to hear that Jesus is alive. Another common element is that when they went to tell the disciples, nobody believed them. All of the accounts tell of a struggle to believe that Jesus was alive. The women struggled initially, and when they went to tell the story to the disciples, they couldn't believe their ears. Resurrection is nonsense. The day dawns in dark despair, but as that day progresses, it becomes a day of inexplicable and blinding light, a day that changes everything. Many people have tried to explain the resurrection to say how this could have happened. How could the disciples have believed that Jesus was alive? There are physiological explanations. There are psychological explanations. There are explanations that are all about the disciples making the story up. But none of these explanations stand up to scrutiny. There is no rational explanation for the resurrection. Crucifixion was brutal. If we're looking for physical explanation, one that was offered is that Jesus wasn't truly dead when they took him down from the cross. And there in the cool of the tomb, he had revived. But anyone who knows anything about crucifixion will tell you that it would have needed a modern-day intensive care unit to repair someone as broken as that. I suppose the other physical explanation, and the one that the guards were told to see, is that the disciples had come and taken the body from the tomb. But if the disciples were so afraid that they did nothing when Jesus was arrested, why would they be so brave when Jesus was dead? Those who first met Jesus did not immediately rejoice. They needed proof. So the psychological explanations don't really hold water. This does not fit a grief reaction, nor a fictional story. Something changed remarkably for those disciples. And if this were a fiction, if this were something that was either due to their psychological state or something that they simply wanted to keep going, why such a strange story? The more likely would have been to believe and talk about Jesus as a martyr. Crucifixion was certainly an end, but the resurrection changes everything. In the words of Watchman Nee, an author and church leader in China, mainly in the first three quarters, well, certainly in the first three quarters, mainly in the first half of the 20th century, he said, our old history ends with the cross, our new history begins with the resurrection. In our Easter hymns and songs, we talk of the cross as a symbol of God's love. This cross that we are transforming into from death to life, is, it feels like that day of resurrection. It's not complete yet because we need to put more flowers in, and then it needs to go outside. It needs to be shared. And that tells us something of the day of resurrection. Something new begins. We want to declare our faith in Jesus crucified and risen. As I was thinking about a lot of the things that we've talked about during Lent and during this Holy Week, there is all that about love, that this that was once a symbol of death for the very worst of people has become a symbol of life because of the very best of men, Jesus himself. And as I was sitting thinking about this, the words of a song were going through my head. Now, strangely for me, it wasn't words that I would have associated with me. Much more likely to have been Carn, because these words come from Andrew Lloyd Webber and others, Don Black and Charles Hart. It's a song that you may well know, Love Changes Everything. It's not really written as an Easter song, nor is it really meant to be about Jesus. But think about the words that we've read and said and heard. As I read the lyrics, you will be very pleased. I'm not going to sing the lyrics. I'm going to read the lyrics. Love. Love changes everything. Hands and faces, earth and sky. Love. Love changes everything. How you live and how you die. Love can make the summer fly or a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love. Love changes everything. Now I tremble at your name. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Love. Love changes everything. Days are longer. Words mean more. Love. Love changes everything. Pain is deeper than before. Love will turn your world around, and that love will last forever. Yes, love. Love changes everything. Brings you glory, brings you shame. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Off into the world we go, planning futures, shaping years. Love bursts in, and suddenly all our wisdom disappears. Love makes fools of everyone. All the rules we make are broken. Yes, love. Love changes everyone. Live or perish in its flame. Love will never, never let you be the same. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. Amen. As we prepare now to meet around our Lord's table, we're going to sing hymn number 392, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Maybe a couple of things I should say about communion as we gather at the Lord's table. And of course, the first is to say that this is the Lord's table, and this table is open to all. The other thing is to say that the way that we celebrate communion is that the elements are distributed, then the words are said, and we all eat together and we all drink together, for we are one at the table. It doesn't matter whether you're minister, elder, member, or friend. We are all here at the invite of Jesus himself. For it is Jesus who invites us to share this feast. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." As the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common use to this holy use and mystery. The risen Christ revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Let us seek our Lord through the bread and through the wine that we share at his table. This Easter day, we praise God who sent his Son, Jesus, who died for us and rose for us, and who gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. It is right, on this day above all days, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God. We acknowledge the majesty of your glory and the wonder of your works. We are here in the presence of the riches of your grace. We know that Jesus died for us and rose again for us. Here in your loving presence, we are united with people of every age and of every nation. We are part of that great multitude who worship on earth and in heaven. On this day of resurrection, we rejoice in the wonder of all that was achieved for us by Jesus that first Easter. We thank and praise our Lord for his infinite love and his willingness to live for us and to die for us. We rejoice to be here at this table, remembering again his words about bread and wine. So we praise you for giving us the bread of life and for calling upon us to drink from the cup of the new covenant. United in faith and love with those who have gone before us and with your whole church throughout the world, we gather at this table, praying that you will fulfill your will and purpose in us and all humanity, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you, our Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, may the whole creation give worship and praise, now and forever. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks and praise for the dying and undying love of our Saviour Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into communion with him and with all who love him. You have made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. We seek your blessing upon us as we go from this place, knowing the light of life, knowing that we are those who live in the light of the resurrection. And on this Sunday, want to bless you and praise you for all that Jesus is, all that he brings to us, all that we have to share. Amen. We're going to conclude with a hymn that I very often describe as almost compulsory for Easter Sunday. In fact, I cannot imagine an Easter Sunday where I don't sing, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son." the light of the resurrection, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.